This is Brody Rodning with the Toronto Blue Jays. You're listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott and Adam.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the Walk Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
Wire and another one. My goodness.
Good morning, sir.
Good. Muggy morning. It is an ugly one in Edmonton.
Yeah, we're both in Edmonton today.
You're up here.
Look at this. Yeah. This palace behind me is my dad's office. He just bought a new place, and so I came down to help him move some stuff in. Just good, clean fun, you know?
Very good.
How was your weekend? Or week, I guess, today?
It was good. You're never going to believe this if I tell you, but I got my third... Actually, I guess fourth flat tire of the season.
Are you kidding me?
I know, right?
When you even said this before we went on and you were like, hey, do you have anything to talk about? Because you won't even believe what happened to me. I would not have guessed another flat tire.
Another flat tire. Yeah.
Driving or just again?
Oh, yeah. This one was my wife's fault again. We went to the dog park, and then on the way back, she like turns down the radio and she's like, do you hear that? And I can never tell. I'm not a car sounds guy. I can't, whatever. Yeah. But she's like, oh, I think we got a flat tire. So she pulls over. We're on this like back farm road. Pull over. I go out and look and like, we don't have a flat tire. And she goes, we'll see if there's something like in the rubber or something then. And like, so I check all four tires. And then sure enough, there's like a big giant bolt just right deep into the tire. So it was like, it was in there, but it was still holding. So like, there was no air leak or anything. So that's
why.
Well,
the good news is over the summer, the spring, you've become very good at changing tires, correct?
I'm getting real good. I mean, you know what? Fourth tire now. So we've got a whole new set.
There you go. Look at that.
But it's been a wild time. I'm really over it, that's for sure. So
you're over changing tires. I'm over it. Yeah. I think you've put your time in for the season. Yeah.
Like, I know the last time we talked about it, I was laughing about it. I was still pretty positive, but I'm done. I'm done.
You're done with
flat
the joke
tires.
Yeah. You always get flat tires, yeah. Yes. So.
Anyways, Blue Jays just finished up with the Oakland A's.
Yes. It was a heck of a little last seven games, actually. Welcome to the walk-off, everybody. Scott Belford with you, joined by, of course, my good buddy Adam Mack, as always. And yeah, man, they won five of the last seven games out of Atlanta and Oakland. Not too bad, and I know it didn't feel that dominant. You know, like if you look at the record, it didn't feel like we took five of seven because of those first two games in Oakland were such tough games to watch. But besides those two games, my goodness, has the offense come alive. They're averaging over 9 runs a game other than those two in Oakland to start the series. So pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah.
So we will run down exactly what took place there. We'll get into the injury parade continues. Bichette is doing some pretty incredible stuff. We'll talk the bullpen, and of course, we've got a great guest for you today. Our guest, by the way, we've got a sponsor on board, which is fantastic news. That is based out of Edmonton, yourrate.ca. Mortgage broker and good buddy of ours, Darren Brown. He actually helped my dad get this place, so I can vouch very strongly for Darren. He's a great mortgage broker. And the beautiful thing with yourrate.ca is that it is all paperless and COVID friendly right now. So you can go online and set up your applications and so on and so forth online, like everybody does now, you know. I don't mean the mortgage stuff, but we're just all online now. So
there you go. Renew that Netflix subscription and get a house while you're at it.
That's right. Our guest today too, I'm so excited to run this interview because we had such a great chat with this young kid, Minnesota boy. And he's playing on the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Of course, the Blue Jays double-A team. Brody Rodning is going to be joining us. Big lefty out of the pen. He's got a lot of movement on his pitches. He's got a cutter that he's really in love with these days. He hits about 96 miles an hour. And this is a guy that we could literally see in the bullpen by September. So, yeah, we'll get to that in about 30 minutes. But exciting stuff on that new Fisher Hampshire Cats.
The new Hampshire Cats. I like the Hampshire Cats. That sounds better.
The Hampshire Cats, yeah. While we're talking minor leagues, the Buffalo Bison sure look great too. I mean, Alek Manoah yesterday went 6 innings, 12 Ks. Just continuing to build that excitement in that Blue Jays fan base.
Yeah.
I know Simeon Woods Richardson had a really good game yesterday too. I think he went 4 innings and 1 hit or something like that. So the prospects are looking good. Okay, so we'll go back to the last week of Blue Jays baseball.
Let's do it.
Boy, did they look good in Atlanta, my man. They averaged 8.7 runs a game in that series. Came out with the sweep. And, I mean, they cobbled together their starting pitching, so not too shabby. Even losing those first two games in Oakland, they didn't hit. Like, that's the thing. The Steven Matz loss, it was a bit of a bummer of a game. I know we were live streaming that, as we do every single Tuesday. And he was okay. Like, Matz didn't look terrible. He didn't fall flat on his face. But he allowed 4 runs there in the second inning, and the Jays just, you know.
They either got it or four, they don't. Right? Like,
yeah, they just...
I was texting you this yesterday. Like, we either score 1 or less runs or 7 or more.
Yeah.
We don't score 4 or 5 runs ever. So.
And Marcus Semien, what a homecoming to Oakland. My goodness. He went 4 for 6 yesterday. I think he was 8 for 16 or something like that on the series. Yeah. Just. Can he play in Oakland all the time? You know, like, obviously.
That's what the Oakland fans are saying, too.
Yeah, all the Oakland fans are like, we let this guy go? So that's great to see, because this lineup is so much deeper when Marcus Semien is hitting, that's for sure. And I know George Springer is back on the IL. That was kind of the big news of the last couple days, is that after being jerked around by the front office, all us fans, I mean, being told that, oh, he's fine, regular day off on Monday. And then all of a sudden, Charlie couldn't use him in the ninth inning to pinch hit for Danny Jansen. And it was weird. And then he was asked about it. And he was like, believe me, if I could have pinch hit him, I would have. And then everyone's like, well, you said it's a regular day off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day on Tuesday, he also missed. And then Wednesday morning, of course, they're like, actually, he's being retroactively put onto the IL. So he's available in a week from today. But
then they announced that they expect him to be on the IL for more than the minimum.
Yeah, that's so he's allowed to come off the IL in a week, but they say that he's going to be on there for. They're not telling us much, but longer than the week, I guess. So
how do you feel about this?
Show some patience, right?
Let's stay with George Springer for a minute. How do you feel about this, honestly?
I mean, it's disappointing, but that said. When I look at the situation, I understand what went down, you know. I just don't understand. It feels like they pushed him. And I don't think it was them pushing him. Obviously, I think it was he really wished to get back into baseball activities. But, man, he played 3.5 games at DH and he goes back on the IL. All that says to me is he wasn't ready to come off it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think that this is, honestly, as far as, like, from a fan perspective, watching baseball right now, it sucks, right? From a what is in the Blue Jays' best interest for 2021, I think it's great that he's missed the first month of the season.
Yeah.
I think as long as we can get him back this year and he can be 100% at some point, and once he's back for good. As long as that.
Yes.
Then this is great because Randall Grichuk has been hitting up a storm. Teoscar's back. We got 3 outfielders out there. And Grichuk continues to drive his price up on the trade market. So what George Springer has done by missing the first month, maybe 2 months, is he has given Randall Grichuk an awesome opportunity to showcase that he is a 300 hitter in the outfielder, an above average outfielder, defensively.
His defense has been phenomenal. Absolutely.
Right? So if Springer was back, Grichuk would not be getting the opportunity to showcase what he is, right? I guess what I'm getting at is that if we could get George Springer back by like the end of June, mm-hmm. I know you don't want to hear that he's going to be out for another month and a half.
No, obviously, hopefully, but it's by June, the end of May, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
If he's back and he's like, he's in a rhythm and we're like, cool, we're good. We got Teoscar. We got Springer's back to 100%. We got Gurriel doing whatever he does in left field. And now we got Grichuk, who we can trade with a Rowdy Tellez and a whoever and mm-hmm. get an awesome pitcher back.
So like, you kind of view Randall as a trade chip while his value is high, is kind of how you see this. By the way, I've got his stats up in 111 at-bats. Randall Grichuk is hitting .306, 6 home runs, 26 RBIs, and an OPS of .860. So the man is putting up some numbers, and it is fairly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, if
29 years old.
The thing is if he can keep it up by the trade, like trade deadline is July 30th, right? Mm-hmm. If he can keep it up into June, right, into the early weeks of July, and he's at, you know, 200 plus at bats, and he's still hitting 290 to 300, and he's got, you know, 40 RBIs or whatever, and now we're going to upgrade from Grichuk to Springer, who's, yeah. in theory, even better, right? We gain at center field, and we have a very valuable trade piece who's like the odd man out. He's not going to become our left or right fielder. Let's go get a pitcher. Buy him a bus ticket with Rowdy. Send one of those prospects over and go get, I don't care, somebody.
It's an interesting thought process. I'm not against it. I think that Randall Grichuk hasn't proved that he can consistently put up these sort of numbers. So maybe it is wise to trade him while his value is high. And this team does need starting pitching. That is for sure. All that said, where would we be right now without Randall Grichuk?
Yeah, no, I'm happy with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to be silver lining guy. If George Springer hadn't missed a single game.
No, you're right.
The sample size on Randall Grichuk is...
would be much smaller.
10 games that he subbed in while Teoscar was out. We still have the same problem of like, wow, we have too many outfielders. What are we going to do? Like, as soon as we signed George Springer, the talks already started of like, what are we going to do in the outfield? We got to move somebody. People thought Grichuk might have been moved before the season started.
No, it's true. So and he was being shopped. So you probably are on to something here. I think his
value now is higher than it was in January.
100% is higher than it was in January. And I'm curious to see where the front office falls on this, because it is possible that they view him as a guy now that maybe is a little bit more of a cornerstone in this team. Like maybe they are looking at him and going, you know what? Maybe Randall Grichuk has knocked Lourdes Gurriel Jr. off as the guy they wish in that outfield. So we'll see, but it is an interesting take. And here is, because I will not get another chance to brag about this, so I'm going to brag about my long shot predictions off the start of spring training. Okay, so what we all did, and when I say all, I mean Adam and I and then a bunch of the guys in our Discord, in the walk-off Discord, we gave our long shot predictions. One long shot prediction for the American League, one long shot prediction for the National League, and one long shot prediction for the Blue Jays. My long shot predictions were as followed. Randall Grichuk has a career year and hits in that 4-5 hole for the Jays more often than he doesn't, which so far, 100% on board with this.
Yeah.
I said the Kansas City Royals were legit and would be fighting for a wild card spot all season long. They're also 16-14 with the Jays currently and are tied for that last wild card spot with the Jays. So also on that, here's the thing. I'm only bragging about this because I know that in a month, all three of these things very likely will not be a thing.
Right.
Yeah. And then my National League prediction, which is probably the furthest off but still looking okay, is Trevor Bauer wins the Cy Young and opts out of his contract. Now, Trevor Bauer's putting up good numbers. He's got a 2.24 ERA. I think he's 5-1 or something like that. I'd need to double check his numbers here, but he's pitching very well. The downfall there, where I will be wrong, is that Jacob DeGrom also pitches in the National League. And he's got like a 0.6 ERA, I think. So might be tough to knock off him. Anyways, that's my bragging for the show.
I like it.
Okay. Let's talk injuries for a second here, because they just keep coming, man. David Phelps hit the IL a couple days ago, which is really too bad. The man was putting up some just deadly numbers. He has a 0.87 ERA over 10.1 innings pitched. And he's a guy that when Merriweather went down and then all of a sudden Jordan Romano goes down, Kirby Yates was lost for the season, Tyler Chatwood hits the IL, David Phelps stepped up and was pitching some very high leverage innings for this team. So it's a real bummer to see, after the numbers that he put up, him hit the IL and kind of lose a little bit of his momentum. He's on the 10-day IL, but it's said that looking like the end of May, which is too bad. I know I've got a screenshot here of the injuries the Toronto Blue Jays have dealt with this season, and it gets a little hairy. George Springer, Kirby Yates, Nate Pearson, Robbie Ray, Hyunjin Ryu, Tom Hatch, Julian Merriweather, Ross Stripling, Alejandro Kirk, Jordan Romano, Tyler Chatwood, Tommy Malone, Patrick Murphy, Gurriel, and Teoscar were on the COVID IL. And then, of course, just announced was David Phelps. That is a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
That is a lot of injuries, and this team is 16-14, May 7th. They're right where they need to be. We have weathered the storm, if the truth be told. And you look at the schedule coming up in May here. A lot of winnable games. They can come out of this month looking pretty good.
We haven't had an easy schedule.
No.
I mean, I'm sure there's harder schedules that have been had. Not every team we've played has been a playoff team. But we haven't played teams like the Tigers. We haven't played teams like the Orioles. Right? Yeah. So, you know, throw in a series or two against either of those guys, and that's probably one extra win on our record, because we're still probably going to split with them. But
yeah.
No, that's good. We're 30 games into the season. This time last year, we were getting ready for the playoff push. Right? We're at the halfway mark, 30 games into the season, saying, all right, one more month to go. We're so close.
We're so close. Think about that. Like, everyone listening, just let that sink in for a second. That last year, this would be the 50% mark of the season. The halfway. And we're 18% done this 162-game season.
Yeah.
So, you
know. Still early.
Ebbs and flows, my friends. We are going to experience some ups and downs. So, to kind of see where we're at right now, not too shabby. Especially with those injuries. I did wish to touch on, and I know I seem to talk about this, man, every cast, but Rafael Dolis, my God, this guy has become just money at the back end of that bullpen.
Yeah.
He has shut the door down for the Blue Jays in the late innings. And listen, He's got a 2.84 ERA, which is fantastic in a reliever. But again, if we all remember early April, Rafael Dolis blew up for four runs in the seventh inning there. I think it was the 4th of April. Yeah. So, like, those four runs are pretty much the only thing on his ERA. He is dealing right now.
He is.
And what I love about Dolis, and I know I bring this up all the time, this is a guy that really probably shouldn't be in Major League Baseball. He's 33 years old. The Jays got him out of Japan last year at 32 when the rest of the league had already written him off. He was in Japan for 4 years. Like, if you spend 4 years in Japan and you're in your early 30s, like, good luck. Yeah. You're not coming back to the majors. Like, are you serious? So a few things to bring up here. Great job on the Blue Jays in scouting Dolis and finding this arm who has been just a godsend, especially with the injuries that this bullpen has taken. Secondly, good on Rafael Dolis for finding a way to get it done. And we've talked about how crafty this man can be. He's got an above average slider and an average fastball. And he has found a way with these two pitches to get outs, to get strikeouts in big situations. And he never gives in to a batter. And this is something, again, Adam, you and I, we've talked about this, right? Like, if he doesn't feel that he can get a guy out, he's gonna nitpick around the outside of the zone. If the guy's gonna swing at it, great. If he loses him, no big deal, right?
Yep.
So I don't know, man, what more to say about Rafael Dolis, and maybe this will be the last rant I have about him, but legit, I truly believe without him, this team has 2 to 3 to 4 more losses on the year. He has been that good at the back end of the bullpen.
You're not wrong. He's been great. He was good last year. He continues to be good this year. Tough to watch.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of been the story of our bullpen, to be honest. Other than there was a half of a week in early April where we had Julian Merriweather.
Yes.
Who is just
a joy to watch.
Angel singing from the mountain on high. Otherwise, it has been a ugly but it works strategy from the bullpen. And
yeah, I'll take it.
16-14, the Jays are on pace at this point to finish at 86-76 for a record, 10 games above 500. So that's kind of where we all anticipated they'd be, a mid to high 80 win team.
I think most pundits kind of guessed in that 84 to 88 win window.
Yeah.
So they're on pace.
They're on pace, and if we can get healthy and we can get a couple guys back, we could turn that 86 win projection into a 90 win projection.
And one thing that was just announced yesterday too is that the Blue Jays home in Dunedin, Florida is going to be Buffalo by June 1st, which is fantastic news. I honestly think that Buffalo is a much better place for these guys to be, and you could tell that they were starting to get a little frustrated in Dunedin, not necessarily with the facilities, but it's already becoming 33, 34 degrees in Florida on an afternoon game. Yeah. And guess what? That kind of sucks to play baseball in, you know? And it sucks for the fans to go and sit in that heat.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, not only are the players kind of, you know, putting on their big boy pants and sweating through it, but the fans,
yeah.
I mean, obviously they're going to fill up the 15% capacity or whatever they're allowing. But, you know, it is something of a bummer for fans to need to go sit in that.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
So June 1st is when they move to Buffalo. And there's rumors they might even try to go earlier. But right now, all the speculation, and they've set a timeline for June 1st. Again, I really think that this is going to be beneficial to the Blue Jays. And they loved being there last year, so a little easier for Jays fans to check them out, too.
Yep.
Hopefully by that point, more of us have our vaccinations, so on and so forth, so crossing the border and going and seeing a ball game might be a little bit more doable.
There you go.
All right, my man, did you have anything else to touch on the Blue Jays?
I'm excited to have Nate Pearson back soon.
Yes, me too, and he's looked really good.
And he should be another week or two away maybe, but he's ramping up the workload.
Yep, he was at 87 pitches, I think, last time he threw. So that's getting pretty darn close to where they wish him.
Probably one more start.
I'd say that he gets one more start with the Trenton Thunder.
And as long as there's no setbacks.
Who are the Buffalo Bison, by the way?
That's thrown me off too, yeah. We've seen, like, Alek Manoah after his pretty dominant performance yesterday.
In a Thunder jersey.
In a Thunder jersey. Weird. And I'm like, what is this? It's like I know the Buff. Yeah, it was weird to see, but yeah, Trenton Thunder. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get to some stuff around the league. I did wish to start with a little bit of a Blue Jays related thing.
Okay.
We were joking about this earlier in the week. Acuna and Acuna.
Yeah.
And someone needs to sit old man Pat Tabler down and be like, it is ya at the end. Acuna. Yeah. There's that little squiggly on top of the end that makes it a ya sound. Because if you keep saying Acuna, you sound like a moron, Tabby.
Yeah.
And we love you.
Especially
Jays Nation loves Tabby, but
especially when Buck says it properly the sentence before.
The sentence before. And what we were laughing about too is you just know that he has been told and he's saying, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're like,
he does not hear the difference.
It's Acuna. And he's like, I'm saying it. Acuna. Acuna.
100%.
This is probably my favorite injury of the year so far. Oakland Athletics starting pitcher, Jesus Luzardo. Pinky finger. Out for 10 to 20 days. Injured from playing video games.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. Speaking of video games, by the way, should we tease the fact that you're playing some show with our guest today? I guess I'm kind of teasing that right
now.
Well,
you just, yeah, it's a, that's a full spoiler at this point.
Yeah.
yeah, so our guest today, Brody Rodning. Did I get that right?
Yeah, Brody Rodning.
Brody Rodning. Acuna. I can't get names right either, so who am I to say? Our guest today, we're going to be sitting down next week and going head-to-head in MLB The Show, which is the video game of baseball, for anybody that doesn't know. I am
which
no good.
Pretty darn cool.
I am no good at that game, so I anticipate getting spanked pretty hard.
Well, even when you hit him up, I loved his response. He's like, yeah, I like beating the crap out of people. For sure, I'll play you.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully that is the first of many Blue Jays prospects that we've talked to who will sit down for a challenge with me.
And I think we'll find that they will, because one thing we have found out about talking to them is video game culture in this organization is very prevalent.
Yes.
They all play the games.
It's a lot easier to game with them online than it is to get together for a round of golf, but I'm sure.
Yes.
I'm sure they would also love to play golf. So.
Yes, golf and video games. This is the Blue Jays of the future.
Man, if I broke my finger playing a video game, though, there's no way I would tell my coach that. There's no way.
I was going to bring this up with you. How long do you think he thought about lying about how it happened? Because he could have said anything. I dropped a pot. I fell down a stair while I was holding my kid. Like anything.
Do you think that's what happened?
Robbie Ray actually hurt his elbow in a video gaming thing, and he's like,
he's playing Wii tennis.
If I bring my kid into this, yeah.
yeah, there's no way I would admit that to anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild. It's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It makes me wonder if he was with a teammate. Like, it makes me wonder if there's just no. If it happened in the dressing room,
yeah,
there's nothing he could do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, I mean, all the best to him. Hopefully, he was having a great season pitching wise too, so that's a real pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And what sucks too is, you know, like a pinky is such a, it's like turf toe.
Yeah,
it's football, the wimpiest, you know? it's a serious injury, but it's like one of those ones where you're like, oh,
it just sounds okay, like, so wimpy.
Yeah couldn't even be his index.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't sound wimpy, but pinky, oh my pinky.
Who was the Jays pitcher a couple years ago? Was it Aaron Sanchez that always struggled with hangnails?
Yes.
That's another one, too.
The hangnails, like, and the blisters.
Oh,
yeah.
You poor guy. But, like, for sure it is. Like,
if you can't grip a ball, you can't grip a ball. Right?
There's so much specific movement and pressure being applied. Yeah. And, you know, and it's not that they're not willing to pitch through it, but it's like, if my control is off, I'm useless.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyways, wild times there.
Albert Pujols. That's exactly what I was going to.
667 career home runs.
Wow.
And he may have played his last game in the MLB.
Yeah, he was released by the Angels yesterday. But you know what? I would not be surprised, and it's all rumor central right now. Will he be reunited with Tony La Russa?
The White Sox.
Will the White Sox give him a half of a year contract and let him finish his career with the manager he came up with in St. Louis? There's also rumors that there might be a interesting contract offered from St. Louis themselves, and he can finish his very storied career as a Cardinal.
Well, those are the two obvious landing spots. As a Jays fan, I think everybody was asking themselves, is there any way he fits in with this team? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And I... like, we're so homer heavy already. We're already using our DH spot all the time, mm-hmm. cycling guys through it, trying to get everyone at bats. I love the idea, believe me, and I would be super excited if it happened because, I mean, the guy is an icon. But I don't think that's the route this front office would decide to take.
So the reason that he was released, it wasn't that the Cardinals didn't want him on the team. Obviously, they're still on the hook for $30 million.
Yeah.
It's that they didn't feel like he was an everyday player anymore.
Yes.
And they told him, you're gonna become a bat off the bench, right? Not even an everyday DH, mm-hmm. right? And he said, no, I'm not a bench player. And that's basically what it came down to, was I'm playing or release me and I'm done.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, when you're 660-plus home runs in the MLB, there's an ego that comes with that, and a justified one.
Yeah.
Unless Chicago or St. Louis is willing to say, hey, you can be our everyday DH, I don't know if he's going to...
Which is why it's leaning so much more towards the White Sox, is at least they've got that DH spot, you know? Like, going to the National League, where is he going to find at-bats? They're not going to put Pujols back at first. That's not happening.
No, he's 61 years old. His defense isn't there anymore.
He's officially 41, according to his Dominican records. But it's been rumored forever he's 43.
Right.
You know, it's been rumored forever that he's 2 years older than he says he is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's too bad because he is iconic and it is historic, and it would have been nice to see him kind of finish up with the Angels. But
I really want to see him get to 700 home runs. As a sports fan,
yeah,
it has always hurt to see guys finish so close to such big milestones at the end of their career. They retire with, you know, 1985 RBIs. Like, you couldn't come back for one season and
yeah,
it just sucked it up and got 15 RBIs over 6 months, like, to get 2,000. Or it's the same in hockey, you know, seeing guys retire with, like, you know, 493 goals.
Yeah.
Like, play two Round more seasons if you have to get the next seven goals. Like, come on. 500 goals.
That's what happens in professional sports, is once you're no longer considered an everyday player, there's young kids that are going to get that ice time, or there's young kids that are going to get those at-bats. It's just the way it goes. I mean, he's trying to build an organization.
He is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
He's got 5 home runs this season. Like, he's still got power in the bat.
Yeah, he does.
Will he get to 700?
That is the question.
Scott, I'm asking you right now, what do you think? Will he get to 700 or is he done?
No, I don't think he will. I would love to see it, my man. Obviously, I'm rooting for him like everyone else is. I don't see it. I don't even really see him being picked up. But I hope he is, and I hope he's given an opportunity, and I hope he does it. It would be incredible.
I don't think he'll get to 700 either. He's too far away to get there this year.
Yeah, and who's bringing him back next year?
That's the thing. Like, maybe St. Louis, just for the, you know, he started there, come retire here, you know. I don't know.
But you know what? St. Louis has never been that type of organization.
No.
The Cardinal way has always said, you know what? In with the new, out with the old. Always.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's just an absolute shame for me to see someone get so close to such a wild milestone.
All the best to him. Like, I hope someone picks him up, and I hope that it works out that he actually does manage to hit 700 home runs. But I'm with you. It's going to take 2 years, I think, at this point. And I don't think again, I truly don't believe he'll probably even be picked up this year. So he might be retiring right now. All right, my man. Should we wrap this up? Throw to Brody?
Yeah, let me just... One more thing on the 700 home run club. Yep. There's three players in Major League Baseball history to have 700 home runs. Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth. That is the exclusive list. It's just such a shame to see him get so close.
38 away. All right. Probably has 18 more in him this year if he was able to get his at-bats. I don't know, man. I just can't see it happening. But I hope it does. Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Obviously, you can follow us on Twitter. I run that account. That's at Walkoff Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, The Walkoff Podcast. We'd love it if you'd subscribe to our YouTube channel where all of our interviews are up since we started doing this, The Walkoff Podcast. Enjoy Brody Rudning of the AA New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Minnesota boy. Just a great chat. Take care, everybody. Cheers.
Runner goes, trying to steal third, and that one is belted to left center field. And that
is Brody Rodney with the Toronto Blue Jays. You're listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott and Adam.
So thrilled to be joined by today's guest, pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays organization, Brody Rudning. Welcome to the Walk-Off, my man. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got that classy hotel art right over your shoulder there, looking good.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys like. I'm sure you've seen that in a couple podcasts with a couple of the boys, huh?
Oh, you bet, man. You bet. So to start off, obviously you're in New Hampshire right now getting ready for the AA season, but I did want to say big congrats, buddy, on getting called up last month to the alternate site. Very cool.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're a Minnesota boy, right?
Correct.
All right. So I feel like there's a connection between Canadians and Minnesotans.
Yeah, exactly. Some would say that Minnesota is basically Canada, you know.
Well, we have all the same stereotypes, right? I know everyone says we love hockey, and I perpetuate that stereotype. Are you a hockey guy?
I got my Minnesota Wild sweatshirt on right now.
Hey, there it is. Absolutely. Love it. Buddy, what a season the Wild are having. They are legit, man.
No kidding. That Kirill Kaprizov, he's the real deal, man. He's hands down probably the best talent on our team. No question.
Dude, what a find. He's going to win the Calder Trophy this year.
Oh, 100%. I don't even think it's going to be close.
No, he's running away with it. It's been
awesome.
Oh, man. It's funny because, like, the Wild, I can't remember them having a season like this in years and years and years where they, they're legit.
it's been a minute, honestly. We've since Marian Gaborik, like, we haven't had a person this exciting, honestly. And it's fun to finally see. My family and I, we've had season tickets for past 3-4 years, and now with COVID it's kind of been tough not being able to go, but you know, it's fun to see them finally have a good season, clinch the playoffs, and you know, who knows what's gonna happen. It's tough though. We got to face probably Colorado, and they're good.
Yeah, it is going to be quite the playoffs this year. Did you become a hockey fan because your parents were hockey fans?
I actually started playing NHL. I started playing Chell on my PS4. And honestly, from then on, I started becoming a huge hockey fan. And me and my dad started going to games, and we ended up getting season tickets. So
that's amazing, buddy. You're a farm boy too, correct?
Correct. Born and raised. I've been in the tractor since, you know, before I could walk.
Well, it's interesting because I was even reading that you literally trained and stayed in shape at the family farm. Like, you were.
I did.
Called on your brother to catch for you, and away you go.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, it worked out perfectly. I was home, and, you know, he's always willing to help. But, like, we were out in the field, and I still got to stay in shape, and I still got to train. So, you know, we take a break from farming for a little bit, go do baseball stuff, and then it's back out into the tractor. So,
dude, that is like baseball romance 101. That's like out of a movie sort of stuff.
It's like the field of dreams, right? You go out to the cornfield and you see that, and it's basically what it is. Yeah, that's where I'm from. Just cornfields, and that's about it.
Us too. how weird was it not playing organized baseball last summer?
Honestly, it was crazy. The whole process and just everything, and just the whole thing was crazy. Just not being able to be with the boys, and like, honestly, having the whole, just this in-season feel of on the, going on the road, being on the bus, coming back to the, to your home field and having a ton of fans, you know, it was a different feel, and it took some getting used to for sure.
Oh, I can imagine. And then what a wild scenario you've had the last year. Like, you go from, so you haven't pitched professionally since 2019 before the pandemic. High A Lansing is where you last pitched. Things get shut down, and now you got called up to the alt site where you're literally just one step away from the bigs. Did you let that excitement kind of sink in, or did you find that like hinders your focus and you just tunnel visioned it and kind of didn't think about it? How did you approach that?
Honestly, obviously I'm super grateful for the opportunity, and I lived in the moment. I didn't get too high, I didn't get too low. Obviously I was very, very excited and happy and stuff, but honestly I looked at it as an opportunity. I'm up there for a reason, and you know, I just looked at an opportunity to get better and you know, open some eyes even at that level. I wasn't content. Obviously, like I said, I was very happy and pleased, and grateful, but you know, I wasn't content. You know, the main goal is to get to the big leagues, and that was just one of the steps, and to, you know, be thought of, to move up there, you know, that's just, it's honestly, it's an honor. And you know, I just looked at it as another step, and like I said, I wasn't content and I want more.
What was that transition like for you, going from practicing on the farm to playing with guys that literally had major league experience and who were one step away? Like, what was that?
It's crazy. Super surreal. Like, it all came came so fast, because when I found out I was going to the outside, actually, I just got done throwing in a live BP. And, you know, I got done, and I was drinking some water on the bench. It hadn't been 30 seconds, and one of the coordinators came up and was like, "Hey man, like, congrats, you're going to go to the alt site, blah, blah, blah." And it all just happened so fast. I didn't get really a chance to kind of like live in the moment. So, you know, it took a little bit of getting used to, but being able to be there, and just, it was so awesome. It was eye opening. I got to see, you know, like, you know, my stuff can play here. So it was cool.
Confidence wise, that must be such a huge thing for you, eh? To be given that opportunity and then to actually have that validation of being like, you know what? I can play with these guys.
Absolutely. You hit it on the head, man. Like, the validation, just having some reassurance that the hard work that you put on in the off season and, you know, the extra stuff that you did pays off, and you know, they also recognize it too. You know, it's super rewarding.
So I have a pile. I do have some listener questions for you, which we will get to at the end of this. But this one came up multiple times, and it just seems like the perfect place to ask you this. Everyone wants to know, what is the alternate site like? Like, what's the atmosphere there? I can just see how excited you were. And I know that the alternate site squads were playing other teams, alternate site squads. How competitive was that? Did it feel like a real game?
Yeah, actually, you know, it was awesome. Really, really good atmosphere. Even though it was the alt site, and it was kind of like spring training in a way. You know, if a starter was to, you know, go five innings, they could possibly roll an inning. But also at the same time, everyone on that alt site, like, they're playing to go to the big leagues too, and everybody wants to, you know, show their stuff and show what they got. So at the same time, yes, it's a spring training game, kind of, but everyone's also playing like it's a real game and it means everything. So just having that atmosphere and just kind of a super chill, fun atmosphere, it made it so much better. And it was awesome.
It was fun, eh? Like, there's
so
that
fun.
Yeah. Was there anyone when you showed up who was noticeably helpful? Any of the guys who were like, "Hey, Brody, this is how you do it."
You know, honestly, a lot of my friends that I got drafted with in my draft class, they were actually close to me and my locker mates when I got there. So I knew a lot of the guys.
Oh, that's great.
Groshans, you know, he wasn't my draft class, but I knew Jordan Groshans, Logan Warmoth, a lot of guys. Kevin Bacuna was there. Nice. Sim was there. So, you know, I knew a lot of the guys there, and they were all like very, open and welcoming. So that was, that made honestly the transition a lot better, and they gave advice and it was awesome.
So let's talk pitching a second here. What pitch are you throwing right now that you're in love with?
Probably my cutter.
Yeah.
I'm loving the cutter. It's a new pitch I developed, and I'm having a lot of success with it right now. So, you know, that's a good pitch for me.
That's great, man. So have you faced a hitter in your experience where there's a little bit of a rivalry between you two? Like, intensity wise, what is it that dials you up? Is it the one-on-one battle? Is it situational in the game? What gets you fired up to pitch?
Honestly, so it's funny you ask that. Probably one of my biggest rivals is, you could call it a rivalry, but it's like a friendly rivalry. Yeah. It's Samad Taylor. We talk a lot of smack, and we're like, yo, he's like, you better hope I don't face you this spring training. And I'm like, man, you better hope I don't face you, because you're going to be sitting on the bench. You know, we talk a lot of smack. And honestly, when that comes up, and we actually got a chance to face off this spring, and it was awesome. But like, when it comes to it, like, I just don't want to lose, man. It comes, like, it's me versus you. Like, I don't want to lose, man. I want to win, and that's how it is. And when it comes to it, I just lock in. Even though you're my boy, you're my friend, you know, after the game, it happens regardless of what happens. You know, I'm going to dab him up, and we're still friends. But, like, when it comes down to it, you know, it's game time.
Is he where most of your trash talking has happened? Like, when you think back over the last few years, like, were there some trash talk that, I don't know if you were paying attention at all to this Dodgers Padres season series, but
oh, it has been love it.
So exciting to watch. I love it. Like, as a fan watching, you know, Bauer strike out Hosmer and do the sword celly and then get a hit on, you know, Hosmer hits him and does it right back. And, you know, Tatis hits a home run and he's running around the bases covering his eye. Like, have you had anything like that trash talk wise or nothing to
that? I wouldn't say against other teams, but like I said, on our own team, yeah. But yeah. Again, it's all in love.
Of course.
And you know, it's just because we're competitive people, and it's just funny. At the end of the day, you know, like I said, we're competitive people and we want what's best for each other, but you know, we got to talk some smack. And I love the Dodgers Padres rivalry they got going on. Like, that's stuff you live for. I mean, I remember in high school and even college ball, like, we always had those rivalry teams, and you, whenever you played them, you know, you always played hard. You did not want to lose to them. You always played harder. And I love that they have that in the major league side and even minor league side. So
it creates such a fun atmosphere that was lacking in baseball. And it's funny because even to this day, there's still the old school sentiment of there's no place in the game for that sort of showboatness or showboating,
right,
or whatever you want to put it. But you disagree with that, right? Like, you're all on board with guys showing their personalities.
Yeah, 100% to a point. You know, I think everyone agrees with that too, that, you know, to a point. If like Bauer said, you know, when he strikes someone out, he's going to show, you know, he's going to show off a little bit. And if someone hits one off him, you know, he's got to tip his cap. I mean, that it's the same way it is. If you don't like it, it is a saying in baseball. If you don't like it, play better, right?
Yeah.
If you don't want someone to showboat off you, don't give up a home run. So, but yeah, honestly, like, I like it. It's good. It brings a lot of energy to the game, and yeah, it's fun.
So you have been a starter. You're in the bullpen. I'm curious about when there's a mound visit, because you've experienced both sides of this, right? Like, normally as a starter, you're not going to get a mound visit unless things aren't working for you, and either they need to set you straight or they're pulling you. But now you see a mound visit and you're like, okay, this could be my time up, right? So I've got two questions here. Number one, when you were a starter, are there any memorable mound visits where maybe a pitching coach came out and either nailed what you were doing wrong or maybe didn't even talk baseball with you? Like, I don't know if that ever happens, where a guy comes out and he's just like, get out of your head type of thing. And then if you can also follow it up with, what's it like being pulled out of the coming out of the bullpen, right? Like, getting the manager comes out and he's like, all right, bring in Rodning. So what are your feelings there? Sure.
So to answer your first question, I think one of the more memorable, I probably have two. One was in college. My coach, Matt Moggers, when I was at Mankato State, I guess I was looked at as one of the leaders on the team, and I was having a really, really tough game. Started out, I think my first two innings, you know, going to three, a full count almost every batter. Probably walked like two or three. And I just remember him coming out, and, you know, I can't really repeat everything he said. But it was along the lines of it didn't have really much to do with baseball and to get my head out of my butt. And I just remember him basically, he had all the position players just, he didn't want them coming up. It was just me and him. And he just ripped me until the umpire came back, and I didn't give up a hit the rest of the game after he left. So, but yeah, honestly, like, it's just one of those things where I'll remember it to this day, because he came out just, you know, sarcastic, smart, you know, little being a prick, and
yeah,
I knew what he was doing. I knew it was trying to fire me up, and it worked. But that was one of them, and then the other one was it was in one of my first years in pro ball. Jim Sikowski, he's actually my pitching coach here in New Hampshire. We were in the playoffs at Eugene, and I just remember being one of the guys coming out in the playoff game, and I had the same thing. I was walked first guy, but I was throwing sinkers, and they were moving way more than they have ever moved in my life. And he comes out and he goes, "What the heck are you throwing changeups for?" He's like, "I'm gonna pull you if you keep throwing changeups, blah blah blah." Like, and I didn't say anything, and Casey Clemens was behind me. He goes, "Man, are you?" He's like, "I think those are sinkers, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I just can't spot up for nuts." So yeah, it's just funny stuff like that. Like, he loves to just give me crap for stuff, and I just remember those. So
that's great that he's been with you for a couple of years. Do you find that having a pitching coach that kind of knows your history has helped?
Absolutely. I think having a pitching coach who, you know, where I know him, I know when he's trying to get a really good point across and to coach me, and I also know when he's trying to, you know, just have some fun. And it's really nice that he knows what works for me as well. So I think that does help. But answering your second question, coming out of the bullpen, man, that's, talk about adrenaline rush. When they call your name and they call, you know, "Hey, lefty, you're warming up," or whatever it is, you're in. That run to the mound, is that adrenaline's awesome. And then you hit your walkout song, and
yeah,
it's a different beast. I mean, it's different than starting, but it's, like I said, the adrenaline rush, I love that. I live for that, and it's
what
awesome.
Is your walkout
how
song?
Long did it take you to get, oh sorry,
my walkout song? Ooh, this year it's Money for Nothing. Nice. It's a rock
song. The Dire Straits. All
right. Yes, awesome. Yes, right when the guitar's coming. So yeah, that's gonna be a gonna be a banger. Hopefully I get the crowd getting into the song. So
how long did it take that transition from starter to bullpen getting used to?
A little bit. It took a little getting used to that,
because it is a little tricky. Like, it's a routine. Different mindset.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yes it is. I'd say more so the routine than anything. It wasn't so like pitching wise, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's just pitching. You get out. But I think it was different, like having your days in between when you're going to pitch. You know, like as a starter, you know, you're going to pitch every 5 days. So you can have your workout this day. You can have your workout this day. You're going to run this day. You're going to, you know, throw a bullpen this day. You know, as a reliever, you could go in any day. So you got to be ready. Depending on what your workload is for the day, it's got to be lighter or it's got to be heavier. Just kind of determining what that day is. I think getting used to that was really hard for me.
When you first made that transition, how did you approach that mentally? Because I know sometimes a starter can be moved to the bullpen and it feels like failure almost, I guess. Did you have a little bit of that?
You know, maybe a little subconsciously, but mentally I looked at it as a way to get to the big leagues faster. And that's kind of the way they told me. And you know, I just kind of, I'm going to run with that because, do I think I could have made it as a starter? Sure. But the way I throw in my skill set, I feel like getting to the big leagues and helping the big leagues would be in the bullpen. And I feel like I have a better chance there.
Skill set, eh?
Exactly. But honestly, like, I was basically used to being a relief guy my first year in pro ball because up until Nate Pearson came, you know, I was starting, but once he came, I was his piggyback, and right. He started every game when it was our day. You know, I wasn't starting, so he had to start. so I had to just come out of the bullpen. So I was basically used to it anyways. So
yeah. All right, my man. So we chatted with Zach Britton. He's Blue Jays outfielder in the system. I have you met him?
I did. I met him. You guys have crossed paths? I remember seeing him this spring. Yeah.
Okay. So he's a Missouri boy, and we played some Canadian trivia with him. Not do well. he got 3 out of 6, and buddy, we had to help him along the way here. Now I know you played with the Vancouver Canadiens, and you're from Minnesota, so you already have some experience on him, some Canadiana in you. Do you mind?
Well, let's see how you stack up against old Zach here. What did you say? He got 1 out of 6.
He got 3 out of 6, but.
Three out of six.
He really dragged him along.
Well, let's see how we do.
Okay. To start with, who is the Prime Minister of Canada?
Oh, man. I don't even have a guess. That's brutal.
No, that's fine. That's fine, because I know you got this next one. All right. What city does the NHL team, the Jets, play in?
Oh, that's Winnipeg.
Yeah, nailed it. Of course, right?
Been to Winnipeg.
Yeah. All right. The stadium the Toronto Blue Jays play in currently is called Rogers Center, but all hardcore Blue Jays fans will always know it as what?
Ooh. Blue Jays fans are going to hate me that I don't know this one, huh? Do I got a lifeline?
There's something in front of it, and then dome.
Is it the?
Go with it. I know you.
I'm not gonna say no. First thing that came to my head was the old Twins Metrodome. That's not it.
We'll give it to you. It's Sky Dome.
Is that because of the?
Yeah, because of the retractable roof. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
All right. So you're 1 for 3 right now, but you can still pull this out here. So the city of Thunder Bay is in which Canadian province?
I believe I want to say.
Do it.
That's the one right. That's right above. I've been to Thunder Bay. I remember playing in Thunder Bay in summer ball. It's the same one. It's in the same province as Winnipeg, isn't it?
No, it's in the same province as Toronto.
Alberta?
No, it's Ontario, my man.
Oh my gosh.
The province right above Minnesota.
which one's Winnipeg in?
Winnipeg's in Manitoba, which is also right above Minnesota.
See, yeah, I got those all mixed up.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I might do worse than Britain.
Let's salvage this, all right?
Let's bring it back.
The Canadian MLB franchise that baseball fans in this country still mourn, the Montreal Expos, became which MLB franchise?
Montreal Expos. Did they go to, I want to say, Houston? Give me another guess.
Okay. Currently on the roster, this is just going to give it away. Scherzer. Max Scherzer.
Oh, the Nationals. I knew that too because they have the throwback sometimes with the Expos. This is just baseball history that I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. This isn't anything about Canada. This is just baseball. Yeah.
I bet I'll score the lowest on your guys' guess, huh?
Yeah. After giving you all these props for being Minnesota.
Seriously,
yeah.
I really let the boys down. Oh, man.
All right. So here's the last one. There are currently 2 Canadians in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Can you name one of them? I'll even give you a hint. One of the guys was recently inducted, and he played both. Go ahead.
Is it Roy Halladay?
No, sir.
Did they induct him in? Is he Canadian?
He's not Canadian, though.
Where's he from?
Adam, you want to do a quick Google?
I think he's from Florida.
I thought it. Because his son plays on Team Canada, or used to play on Team Canada.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. So I didn't know
he was born. So his son was born in Canada when he was with the Jays. So that's how that worked out. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So I'm still going to give you a hint here. The guy was just inducted. The guy was just inducted, and he played for the Expos and the Colorado Rockies.
Just inducted, played for the Expos and the Rockies.
Not a pitcher, although one of the Canadians inducted is a pitcher.
Just confusing him with all these details.
Yeah, I know.
By the way,
holy.
Roy Halladay was born in Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado. Yeah. Thank you for that. All right, who is it? Expos, and then he went to the Rockies. Is it? No, nope, that ain't him.
All right.
I don't know, man.
Give me guesses. Larry Walker and Fergie Jenkins were the two Canadians.
Inducted. I wouldn't have got those.
You wouldn't have
got those. I know the names, but I definitely would not have got those.
Well, now we're going to message Zach Britton and just be like, buddy, you actually didn't do so bad.
You can say you now do not hold the lowest score.
You do not hold the lowest score anymore.
Man, thank God you're an NHL fan.
I got to start doing my Canadian. Yeah, seriously. Holy crap. I mean, I'll hold up Minnesota's hockey trivia with that. I can hold that down, but.
Brody, this
I gotta
is all
do my Canadian trivia.
This is all gonna pan out for you down the road when you wind up in Toronto, and everyone's gonna be like, "He actually knows a lot about Canada."
And then you're gonna show this, and they're gonna be like,
"Yeah, we'll be like, he learned it from us." Yeah,
yeah, he actually doesn't know anything about Canada.
All right, my man. So this is the portion of the interview where we'll throw to Adam here, and we have a segment called Foul Territory, which is a little less baseball focused stuff. And he's going to kind of see where you're at on some of this.
Sounds good.
So some of these are weird questions. Some of them, as soon as I start to ask it, you might know where I'm going with it.
I'm ready.
All right. So I was going through your Instagram, and I found a photo, which I'll throw up on the YouTube for anybody that's watching. But you have a photo with a couple of San Francisco Giant World Series rings from 2012 and 2014. Whose rings were those, and how did that picture come to be?
So actually, I was at a summer ball game in Mankato in the Northwoods League, the Mankato Moondogs, and I was watching one of my buddies play, and in the stands was a scout. And he happened to be with the San Francisco Giants. And I was looking at his hand, and he had these two fat rings on. I was like, I'm like, hey, man, you mind me asking? I'm like, who are you? Blah, blah, blah. And he just said he was a scout. He's been with him for a while. And he's like, you want to wear these? I was like, yeah. So long story short, yeah, put those on. And, yeah, they were huge.
Just
man.
Not being discreet in the stands at all, hey?
I was just going to say
no,
that.
He's just flaunting them.
Yeah, I love that Amazing. So much. These are like – rings no one wears around, and he's got both his on his hand.
Exactly. And this was like recently after the Giants had won one of them too, so like I can't remember what year it was, but it was probably somewhere around 2015, 2016, maybe 14. No, but yeah, from, yeah, I think that's when it was from. But yeah, it was crazy. So it was really cool too, because they just won it. And yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, what is your favorite Halloween costume that you've ever worn? For example, the best costume that I've ever worn that I'm always proud of when I look at old pictures of is when I was in college, I dressed up as the OxyClean guy, Billy Mays.
Nice.
Do you have any?
I know Billy Mays here. I know exactly that one. Yes.
And just so good I'm one. Not That's being unfair to you, I'll also throw that embarrassing old photo of myself up on the YouTube as well.
Perfect.
Do you have any
I can't wait
celebrity
to see that.
Costumes that you've ever worn?
Honestly, my favorite one probably had to be this. Gosh, when was that? Was it this last year? Yeah, I think it was this last year. I went as the Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the one from back. It's actually
on
my Instagram too. It's back in the day. He had the the fanny pack and the old Cupid link chain.
Turtleneck.
Yeah, so that was probably
that picture's
one.
Going up
the
on
old
here
turtleneck.
Too, buddy. Don't worry.
I might have to do a couple more bicep curls to look like him, but I mean,
that's amazing. Okay, that's great. All right. So when when you're not at the ballpark, I know you mentioned playing NHL. Are you a gamer? Do you have any other hobbies that you kick in your hotel room, or what do you?
I mean, I'm a gamer. I like to play. Honestly, MLB The Show, Chell, Call of Duty. I like to go. I like to farm. Honestly, when I'm back home, but otherwise, I like to play I love playing sports. Like, I play some basketball, shoot some hoops, play some pond hockey in the winter, lace up the skates, go fishing, go hunting. So, yeah, those are my hobbies.
A lot of guys that we've talked to there in the minors for the Jays play golf. Are you a golfer at all?
Oh, yeah. I'm not very good, but I play. I mean, I'll lose a couple balls here and there, but I'll play.
Awesome. All right, so last kind of category here covers all-star games in general. So the NHL has a pretty cool skills competition, right? They have the shootout, some of the speed skating and stuff like that. NFL, I don't know if you're an NFL fan, they have the Pro Bowl where they do weird stuff, like they have a game of dodgeball and stuff, right? The MLB just has a home run derby. So my question for you is, if the MLB was to implement a skills competition, what sort of skills competition events would you like to see?
Ooh, that's cool. That's a cool question.
That is a cool question. Honestly, some of the pitchers, man, we don't get the love we deserve. We need some people say, you know, pitchers aren't athletes, but we need the love. I feel like we should have some sort of competition where we do like an athleticism competition between pitchers and hitters. I don't know how that would work out, but it's some sort of way to just, you know, determine who's more athletic in a way. I don't know, but because like you said, the NHL, they have the speed skate, they have the velocity for the slap shot.
Yeah, it
would be some of the other ones, like NFL, like they got
a radar gun out there, and let's see who can hit the highest MPH on their pitches or something, right?
Let's see who can huck it.
Even in hockey, they've got those, you know, they do the targets in the hockey net, right? And you got to pick each of the corners or whatever.
Hit them.
We could see pitchers doing that in a strike zone, right?
Yeah, there you go. See who's got the best command.
You know what would be cool is, I don't know if you've seen, like I saw this on Trevor Bauer's vlog or whatever, where literally he like takes a running start at it and then just sees how fast he can throw and he hits like 115 or 116.
115.
Yeah, like be ridiculous. Yeah. Like, let's see like how, like, you know, like.
Yeah, right.
Needs to do something. I think there's a great opportunity to see some pretty cool skills competition stuff.
That's a good point.
They could put like a spread of different targets across the infield or something, right? And have guys trying to
hit them
field or hit there or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. That's a good point.
But when you make it to the All-Star game, I never thought about that before. Sure you tell them. All right.
I'll make sure that's first thing on my list. Don't worry. Thanks,
it is so funny, that baseball is so obsessed with trying to shorten the length of the games, but there's so many other things they could do to make it more fun that would be so much more direct to what they're trying to do, which is bring fans in. Oh, like even the blackout restrictions gets me so angry. Like I have MLB TV and I can only watch like games when the Jays aren't on. Or I can't watch, you know, like MLB.
I agree. I have MLB.TV. Yeah.
It's so frustrating. They're putting runners. Like, I don't even mind the runners on second to start the 10th much. But, like, this is what they're doing. Like,
I mean, we're basically – the minor leagues are basically the guinea pigs of everything.
Yeah.
Before they had that in the major leagues, you know, that was a rule for the minor leagues. And that was definitely different. But now this year they're doing in high A – for lefties and righties, lefties can't do the high leg kick pickoff move. You know, they have to step off the rubber. And as well as the right hand. Oh, that's stupid. That's stupid. Yeah. That's the dumbest rule I've ever heard. How could you take away? I mean, basically the runners are going to just have a track meet on left handers. Yeah. First move, it's automatic. It kind of takes away an element of the game. I mean, some lefties, they make their career and they stay in the league because they can hold runners on or they can, no one steals off of them. They have a good pickoff move. I mean, I don't know why you'd be, you know, training that and teaching that at such a young age, or not young age, but at a lower level. Why not develop their pickoff move and stuff like that? Because now right-handers in that league in the high A, they have to step off as well. They can't do a quick pick. No quick picks, no none of that. So I don't really get that one, honestly.
Yeah. How do you feel about the rule changes in general? Do you think they're even needed?
I mean, people say baseball is such a, you know, it's one of the oldest sports. It's America's pastime and it's, you know, it's good the way it is. But honestly, like some of it, yes and no, like the runner on second, I think the runner on second, you know, it's not terrible. It does quicken up the game in a way, you know, it makes it more exciting. It makes it tougher too.
I'd lose my mind if they brought that into the playoffs, but in regular season, it's fine.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Well, it's no different than with like the NHL.
I don't know if you can do that in the playoffs.
Shootout at the end of
Yeah, it's like the shootout kind of, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't do shootouts in playoffs.
No.
That's a good point.
Thank you. I
heard one comparison was with the UFC, right? Like they had to implement basically rules. Like if it was, if they didn't have any form of regulation in the UFC, it would basically just become a grappling match, right? But that's not entertaining to just see two guys like trying to establish position on each other. That's not what anybody watches. Mm-hmm. So if they aren't being active in a wrestling position, right, they get stood back up and it's like, okay, stand back up and let's do this again, right? And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what the MLB has to do with some of these stuff, like banning the shift potentially, or you know, some of the wrinkles that they're gonna have to throw in there is like, yeah, the sport is, mm-hmm. is one thing and that's great, but like at the end of the day it's an entertainment business, so we got to remember the mm-hmm. entertainment side.
So you see a lot of people trying to hit home runs nowadays too, and
yeah,
it's become part of the game. And yeah, actually it's funny you talk about the shifts, because I think in Double A, you know, you have to have at least two guys on
that's one of the new rules,
each side of the base, right? Yeah. On the bases. Yeah, you can't have three on the right side of the base.
You can't be on the left side. I think everybody has to be on the dirt.
Yeah, on the dirt. On the dirt. I don't know.
I think simple changes like that, or I don't have a problem with
that. I kind of like that one. I don't know how you feel about it, but I just like the idea. Like, ball players have become so athletic in the last decade. Let's mm-hmm. see the athleticism. Like,
yeah. You know? Honestly, personally, depending on, you know, who the hitter is, I feel like I've gotten screwed more with having the shift on than not having it. I feel like when they have the shift on, all of a sudden the guy hits it to where they're not, and I'm like, well, if you're just in a regular position, like that's a routine fly ball, but now he's got a double, and you know, it's stuff like that. But you know, at the same time, it does work out. But
of course,
I don't know.
But I can imagine, dude, it being very frustrating making a great pitch, getting a ground ball, and then watching it dribble by on the third base line while the shortstop needs to run it down from second base. Yeah,
exactly. Or like you break the guy's bat on the inside fastball, and all of a sudden you just see a bloop, and you're like, oh, that's a routine fly ball. And you look over, and he's like, oh, wait, my right fielder's 120 feet away from
you're me. Like, great, that's a double.
Sweet. Yeah, but that's the name of the game.
Yeah. All right, my man. Are you all right on time? Can we hit you up for some listener questions? Awesome.
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely.
Okay, so this first one is from Madison in Victoria. So that's on Vancouver Island, just a ferry ride across from Vancouver there.
Sweet.
She says, hey, Brody, super cool to hear you got called up to the alternate site. Congrats on that. I actually saw you play with the Canadians back in 2017. Was there anything about Vancouver that stood out to you during your time there?
Well, thank you for the question, Madison, first off. Honestly, I loved Vancouver. To this day, it's still probably my favorite city I've ever been in.
Nice.
I loved the scenery. I thought the city was beautiful. And obviously, the number one best part was the stadium and the fans. Going to the Nat Bailey every day and just having 5,000 to 6,000 fans, you know, cheering your name, listening to Canadian national anthem sung by everybody at the stadium when you're out there. It's just super cool, man. It was honestly one of my favorite places to play. So yeah, I love Vancouver.
I love hearing that. And you know what's funny, Brody? You are not the first guy to say that. It's funny because Joey Murray was talking about this with us, about how he played for the Canadians and it felt like his first introduction to pro ball, even though it wasn't his first stop on his pro career, mm-hmm. because there were so many fans. And he even said, he's like, don't get me wrong, like people weren't recognizing me, who I was, but they knew I was a Vancouver Canadian. He's like, I don't know how they knew, but they knew.
Exactly. That's basically, he hit it on the head. I mean, honestly, like they treated you like royalty up there. It was so cool. And everyone was so nice. And just like, I thought it was so unique because, you know, the only baseball that Canada has, you know, is Toronto, is the Blue Jays. And the fact that we were able to be and play in Canada, I felt like that was a little more special to the Vancouver fans and just to be there. So it was awesome.
Right on, man. Okay. So this next question's a little goofy. It's from Kelly in Brandon, Manitoba. And he says, hey, Brody, I need the honest truth here. Have you ever used a hay bale in any way to exercise or work out?
That's funny. It's funny you say that. Not intentionally, not an intentional workout, but yes, I have baled some hay in my day. Actually, yeah, before, so this summer I was able to play in a summer league for baseball back home. And actually right before our first playoff game, one of my buddies, he was our first baseman, he's like, Pa needs help baling some hay. We got to go up to the hay loft and throw some bales. So before the game, before we left, we went up there and we started baling. We probably baled about 400 bales and threw them away. Nice. So yeah, actually I did.
Pre-game routines are a little different when you're a farm boy, eh?
A lot different than pro ball.
All right, my man. This is your last question here, and it comes from Ali in Toronto. He says, hey, Brody, hope to see you on the big league team soon. Have you been to Toronto yet? And if so, what did you think?
I appreciate that. I hope to. Hopefully, I'm there too. Honestly, I have not been to Toronto, but I've only heard good things, and I can't wait to visit. And hopefully, you know, that's soon, sometime this year. So,
agreed, man. Number one, congrats on your call up to the alternate site. Best of luck to you in New Hampshire, and thank you so much for taking the time. We hope to have you back. Maybe once you get all settled in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Thanks, Thank you.
Right on, Brody. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osmer with a drive. Cheese and cracker shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.